It is wonderful to be with you folks this morning, and I do see familiar faces, and it's good to meet some new folks as well. I do appreciate Pastor Post and Mrs. Post and family. They are, it's just like talking to people that I've always known and just like family. And I really appreciate your pastor and his wife very much, their friendship, and I value very much their opinion on things. We have been in Australia now, and I know I don't sound like it. We've been in Australia now since February of 2001. And my accent, my southern accent, it does get worse when I'm around my brother and my other family and all the people that I grew up with. But when I go back to Australia, the church folks, they don't even hear my accent. They give me a hard time, have a go at me about some words that I say. But new folks that I get to meet, even though I've been there for this long, I still have the strong accent, and they say, "What are you doing in our country?" And so I get to share with them why we're there and what we're doing, and I get to invite them along to church and talk to them about the Lord. And sometimes they'll they usually just go quiet because you mention Christianity or religion and they want to change the subject. But anyway, it's wonderful to be here. I have a presentation I'm going to show you, and it's about 14 minutes. And in the presentation, I'm just going to apologize now for that. Sometimes they say really positive things about my wife and I and our family, but I gave them five things they could talk about, whether it be the church, Australia, what they do in the church. They could talk about us, or they could talk about the needs of Australia. And several of them chose to talk about us and how they've gotten to know us and our ministry in their lives. But if you'll listen to a fellow by the name of Ken, he more puts it like most Australians do. They are very minimal with their compliments, but he'll say something like, "The Gillums are a blessing to me most of the time," or "I appreciate his ministry most of the time." Well, what's about the rest of the time? You know, and so they're really quite honest. So as you listen to the presentation, I hope it's a help to you. And if you have questions afterwards, I'll be glad to talk.
I want to say something, right?
No, yes, no. Okay, thank you.
I forgot to announce that after the video then, the Kids and Children's Church and Truth Trackers, right, will be dismissed to go practice some Christmas songs. So stay for the video. The video's done. You'll be dismissed with whoever.
Hello, we're the Gillums. We're missionaries to Townsville, Queensland, Australia. My name's Kelly.
I'm Becca.
I'm Bryce, and I'm 13.
I'm Reese, and I'm 16.
Becca and I moved to Australia in February of 2001, and then in August of 2002, we moved to Townsville. We started the church here in Grace Baptist Church in February of 2003. Lots of different ways we've presented the ministry while we've been on furlough over the years. But this time we've decided to ask the church folks to tell you about our church and our ministry here.
I'm Thomas Chance. Actually, I'm from Hong Kong. I come to Australia about 30 years. I'm happy to come to this church, Grace Betty Church. And I know Terry just 3 years. I know Kerry is a good pastor, and he looks after everyone. I'm very interesting, and he analyzed the gospel, and he found that the Bible and in different view, we can learn more detail. I'm so happy and become a member of the church. I like to glorify God. I like to play the music in the church. I find the church, the hymn songs is very good. So I enjoy to sing the song and play the music. And I also like to invite other Chinese come to this church. We find this is the God's family. We like to share, and we like to make people know about Jesus.
G'day, my name is Dan. I've been attending this church with my family for about 1.5 years, almost 2 years. One of the reasons that I come here is because it's faithful to the scripture, and in Australia it seems that there are a lot of churches these days that are more interested in putting on a show, more of an entertainment type process than faithfully expounding the scriptures, teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the thing that I find most refreshing here, is that every morning that we come, the Bible is opened, the Word of God is preached from, we all are fed. Becca and Kelly have been really embracing of us. We moved up to Townsville from down south, 18 hours drive away, so we were without other family here, and my wife and two children moved up with me, and so we didn't have any family or friends, and we walked into this church and we've been embraced. We've had so many people come around us and be like family to us.
G'day from Townsville, Australia. My name is Ben Jaworski and I am a deacon at Grace Baptist Church. My family and I have been involved with the church here since the beginning of 2006. We have known Kelly since he came over with the BJU team since 1997, and Becca since 2001. I have had the opportunity to teach the teens in a Sunday school class this year, and we have been doing the proteins course. Please pray for the young people here in our church. We have maybe up to about 20 at youth group every given Friday. Please pray for them because they are the future of our church. Please pray also for our government here in Australia. Our government has changed 6 times in the last 10 years. Please pray for those who are in authority over us in our government, that we would still receive the same religious freedoms that we have had in the past.
Hello, my name is Robert Benora. My wife and I have been attending Grace Baptist Church since it started many years ago. And one good thing I appreciate about this church is that it's stayed true to preaching God's word. Whatever's preached, it's the same standards we've always believed in. And we thank the Lord that we've got a good church that keeps the standards and traditions we've always had and believed. Thank you.
Hello, my name's Vicky Benora. I've been attending Grace Baptist Church ever since the church started here in Townsville. I just wanted to let everyone know how much the Gillams have been a great encouragement to us over the many years we've attended. Just wanted to thank everyone also for the many years of the support that they give to the Gillams. Thank you so much.
My name is Morris, and I have been a member of Grace Baptist Church for the last 11 and a half years. Since moving from overseas here to Australia, I was praying to the Lord to lead me to a good Bible-believing church that I could be part of, and that I could grow as a Christian, as a young Christian back then. And I'm thankful to the Lord that the Lord has led me to Brother Kelly and the church family here at Grace Baptist. Brother Kelly has been a real blessing to my life. Every time I've had issues in my life, in terms of family or personal issues, I would call on him, and he would always avail time to meet me and sit down with me and open the Bible, with me, and reflect on key specific scripture and verses that would have answers to the issues and the problems that I'm going through in my life. So Brother Kelly and the family has been a real blessing to me and my family.
Myself, my name's Ken Hughes, and I've been in Townsville for approximately 5 years. I actually came to the church in February 2014, and as a result of coming here through Bro Kelly, I was able to be introduced to the camp up at Ingham, and that is where I'd been saved. Well, Bro Kelly has been a great confidant for me and a great example of ministry, and I continue to learn from him, and the way that he sets out his own ministry is a delight at times to witness. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Michael. We've been coming to this church since Kelly and Becca started it, and we're very grateful for him and his preaching and his support and for the support that you give him.
Hi, my name is Bernadette Went. My husband and I, we attend the Grace Baptist Church in Townsville. We first met Kelly and Becca about 18 years ago in the Ingham Church, which is 100 kilometres north of Townsville. When we moved to Townsville about 12 years ago, we had confidence in attending Grace Baptist Church because we knew it was a Bible-believing, teaching church. Our church is a vibrant church with ages ranging from newborn babes up to oldies like us. We have an emphasis on our youth, which are the next generation coming up. We have many activities through the year for our youth, and children outside of church are also able to attend. We also have religious instructions in our state primary schools, and the bulk of these kids, they don't even know what a Bible is, and they don't even know much about God at all, so it's very important for us to come into these schools. Townsville is a good place to live in. It has a population of about 200,000 people. It has a tropical climate, and it is very hot in summer and very mild winters. It's a place that's very apathetic towards the things of God, and people are very busy, caught up in just their everyday lives. Please pray with us for our church, for our youth, that they will keep growing and loving the Lord and serving the Lord. Also pray for our instruction in classes in the schools, that these children will come to know Christ as their Saviour. And also pray for our country, Australia. It's a great country to live in, but we just need to come back to God.
As you have gathered from what the church folks have said, there's lots of ministry to do here in Townsville.
Weekly, Kelly and I teach 15 religious instruction classes in the public schools, and Bernadette Went teaches 3. I also teach and lead a ladies' Bible study, teach children's church, play piano and violin in the church services, help in youth groups, and do a variety of other ministries around the church.
Each week I have the opportunity to lead Bible studies with several men in various ages of Christian growth. Also, Beck and I do the bread ministries on Tuesdays and Saturdays. Through those ministries, we're able to meet lots of people, and both at Baker's Delight, where we get the bread, as well as those that come to the church to get the bread. We've had opportunities to make many contacts through that ministry. Youth groups are also another ministry that are wonderful outreaches. We have unsaved kids that come every week to our teenage youth group as well as to our primary youth group. Many of these kids they've never been to church. They've never been shown what the love of God is. And it's a wonderful opportunity to share with them the truth of God's love and how He cares for them. The RI classes as well, many of the children, 90% of them have never been to church. Most of them would say they don't have a Bible. And so what an opportunity we have in the public schools to share God's word too. Please pray for us and our future ministries. The Lord has graciously helped the church pay off the church loan, or it will be paid off within the next year. Please pray that the Lord guides us in the ministries that we can achieve and do. Several opportunities to plant other churches have come available. And so please pray that the Lord guides our church folks as to what we should be doing next. Pray for us as mom and dad, that we will love our children and love the Lord and show them what Christ-likeness is. Please pray for our youth groups. We have two youth groups, both primary and senior youth groups. Some know Christ as Savior, some do not. Please pray that these kids are reached with the gospel and gloriously saved. Of the 200 or so independent Baptist churches in Australia, many of them have pastors who are 65 and over. With about only 12 men training for ministry Australia-wide, that means that lots of those churches in the years to come, if the Lord does not call more men into ministry, will not have pastors. Please pray that the Lord provides pastors for these churches, that He raises up people who are burdened to preach God's word and to lead His church. Thank you for your support, for your love, for your prayers, for helping us reach Australia for Christ. I'm not sure what else to tell you. I'd love to answer questions that you may have after the service. And so I have been back. I came back a little bit earlier than the kids and Becca did. I've been here since the middle of October, and they joined me shortly before Thanksgiving. And we all go back home on January 14. We go back, and Bryce will be in grade 8, Clarice will be in grade 11, and the school year starts. That will be the first school year starts in late January. So pray for us as we go back home, that we will be able to get used to the climate rather quickly. We're going to have to. It's already 100 degrees there, and it's unusually hot. So pray for us as we go back home, and that we will be sensitive to what the Lord is doing and wants to do. Many opportunities we have to share the gospel, and we want to be sensitive to be doing what the Lord would have us to do. If you have questions later, please come by and see either me or the family, and please get a prayer card. It looks somewhat the same. The kids have aged some, but my wife and I haven't aged at all since the last prayer card. So maybe we have a little bit. And so anyway, but please pray for us. Romans chapter 1 this morning, I'm going to share with you something the Lord has laid on my heart. And Romans chapter 1, and then 2 Corinthians, if you'll go there, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12. I usually just preach from one passage, and I do make reference to other passages, but today, instead of just staying in one passage. We're going to look at a few, and only because you will see where we're going. In these kind of presentations, my children have to hear the same messages over and over and over and over again as I'm going from church to church. And I'm trying to vary things up a little bit so that I'm not only being sensitive to what they need, but what the Lord would have me to preach on. This morning, I want to share with you about our being a missionary and just some prayers that missionaries pray. Some prayers that missionaries pray. Let's read Romans 1 together. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. What is that word gospel? It means what? In its little shape, it means in other contexts, when other writers of Greek would use it, it just meant good news. But Paul made it in 1 Corinthians 15. We know that Paul gave it the idea that it's the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 2, which he had promised aforetime by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 8, Paul begins a prayer, and he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making a request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Do your plans ever get hindered? Do your plans ever get hindered? And do we ask, well, what is the Lord doing? Do we wonder, Lord, what are you up to here? Verse 14, he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. This morning, I want to speak to you about some prayers that a missionary prays. And I'm going to end with this question. Are you a victim or a victor in Christ? Are you a victim in your life, or do you see yourself as a victor in Christ? Now here Paul, he prays or he introduces this book and he's writing to the believers in Rome. And I really did try to look at this passage, and I tried to keep it in context. It really does help to look at to see what he's talking about when he says I or you or me or we. Well, in verse number 5, he's talked about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he says this, by whom we. And the readers at Rome, they must be saying, well, he's talking about us and him. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. So we've received a job to share the gospel with the nation that we are in and all nations. And that's what Wheatland Baptist Church is doing. You are reaching folks here, and you're sending folks to other countries. You're supporting missions worldwide. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. He says there that we all are missionaries. We all are missionaries. So what are some prayers that a missionary might pray? First of all, in verse number 8, there's the prayer of thanksgiving. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. And I know Thanksgiving has been really recent, but one of the prayers that we as missionaries should pray are prayers of thanksgiving. And I know we mention those at Thanksgiving time, but how are our Thanksgiving prayers at other times? Do we start our prayer or just in the middle of the day say, thank you, Lord, for keeping me safe as I went to work today. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to help me through that problem today. Thank you, Lord, that you helped me miss that accident. Or thank you, Lord, there's so many things that we as missionaries can pray about. Secondly, we can pray for others. Notice in verse number 9 that without ceasing, he made mention of those in Rome in their prayers. The Apostle Paul prayed for others. And have you ever heard this statement? I pray for my four, and it's me and my four and no more. We can get so self-focused so much that we forget about what's going on in Australia. That we can forget what's going on in South America. That we can forget what's going on in the lives of people who we worship with. Now let me ask you, how many of you are in your assigned seat today? We have assigned seats, don't we? They're just not assigned. We have our place. And actually, every time I go into a church, I try to wait to see where someone's not sitting because I don't want to get someone's assigned seat. And of course, we don't have assigned seats, but we have that place that we think is comfortable. Well, let me ask, do you pray for those people? I mean, you could close your eyes and you could think, okay, this guy's here, that family's there, this guy's here, that guy's here. You know where everyone sits. Do you ever pray for those people? And can I ask that as you go through your work week, here Paul, he says without ceasing, he makes mention of them in prayer. As you're going through your work week, your school week, your home week, whatever kind of week, or even at 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, if the Lord brings someone to your mind, don't think, oh, I've got to talk about them now. It's, you know, maybe the Lord's saying, you need to be praying for this person. Paul, as a missionary, he was an example of being thankful, of praying for others. And third, he prayed that the Lord would meet his needs. And you know, in verse 10, he says, I pray that the Lord will give me a prosperous journey. Do we pray about our journey? Do we pray, Lord, just whatever you have for my journey, Lord, I want to trust you and I want to do it, because in his journey, Paul was hindered in verse 13. He wanted to reach others with the gospel. He wanted to share with other people the message of Christ. And yet, he was hindered. Do you want to serve the Lord? Do you want to be a witness for Christ? And yet, sometimes your message is hindered. Your life is hindered. Paul took his daily needs to the Lord in prayer. And yes, missionaries should do it. William Carey, the father of modern day missions, a missionary to India, he overcame great obstacles and depended on God and trusted Him. And finally, after 7 years, had his first convert to Christ. Do we pray that the Lord, in using us as missionaries, will meet our needs? Different prayer I want you to look at with me. Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 11, another prayer that a missionary might make. Now, Paul, in the end of chapter 11, he is, I don't know if you're aware of the battle in chapter 11, but he's trying to prove that he really is an apostle and that he has the right to minister to them. And he lists in the last part, the last few verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he lists all these different things, all these different problems that he's faced. He's faced problems with people. He's had the weather against him. He's had shipwrecks. He's had snake bites. He's been whipped. He's been tortured by governors. Everything just imaginable. And now, in chapter 12, he goes to heaven. He sees something. The Lord gives him a messenger to keep his pride down. And notice what it says for this thing in verse number 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Now, in none other of those things that Paul went through did he make mention that, Lord, get me out of here. He was just trusting the Lord through them. But here in chapter 12, the Lord gives him something to keep him humble, to not be proud of himself, and many think it's his eyesight. And he prays three times, Lord, would you please? I get the message, Lord. I get the message. Yep. Okay, you want me to be humble? I understand. He prays three times, Lord, will you please remove this? And what does the Lord say? For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What do you do with the weaknesses that the Lord allows in your life? What do you do with... And really, you go back through verses 21 through 33 of chapter 11, and you can see people that were mean to him. You could see physical ailments that were happening to him. You could see bad things that happened. What do we do with those things? And we can do this. We can look at the circumstances of our lives that don't go like we think they, that hinder our plans. We can look at ourselves as victims. Woe is me. Woe is me. No one else has it as difficult. If I only had this going for me, if these people would only treat me like this, if only this hadn't happened, if only this. And we almost justify our wrong behavior, our being down, and our being, and I realize Paul is going through some hard things, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he even said, there's times that we're pretty well smashed, but we're not completely smashed. There's times where we get discouraged, but we don't lose hope. And when the Lord allows the difficult things in our lives, do we say, do we get the victim card and say, I'm a victim. I'm a victim. And Paul could have called any of these things in chapter 11 or this thing in chapter 12. He could have said, I'm a victim of. And it could have hindered his testimony. And that would have been what he cried out. But notice what he says in verse number 9. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest in me, rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Graham and Gladys Staines, missionaries from Australia. Graham left Australia to go to India back in 1965. He met Gladys and they were married in the 80s. And they both served the Lord together among the lepers, the people with leprosy in India, the very poor people. They were ministering and really they were making some progress. He, Graham, was almost sort of like a state. Everyone just saw the man on the bicycle. Yeah, that's Graham. And yeah, he stuck out because of his skin color. But he had been there for about 34 years when he and his two of his sons, Philip and Timothy, went to do a meeting out in the bush. And they were trying to reach the even poor. They worked in a poor population. They wanted to reach the even poorer population. And so after a four-night evangelistic crusade or whatever they did, meetings, they came so far and they just camped close to a church. And some people, Indians came and surrounded their car, locked them in their car, poured petrol or gas on top of their car, and burned them up. And Gladys and their daughter, they were at home. They didn't go to the meetings. The Indian people were just appalled, and they eventually did bring two of the 100 or so people that surrounded the car to justice. But at Graham and Timothy and Philip's funeral, Gladys sang, "Because He Lives." And it could have been expected for her to just go back to Australia and live her life there because of the things that these people had done to them, to her husband, to her children. But she chose to stay because he lives and because of the needs of the people. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 in closing. Really, I had Romans chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 to look at as well. Philippians chapter 1. Paul is in prison and he says this, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all the places." You know, victor or victim, how did Paul see his difficulties? He's in prison, he's been beaten, he's been abused by his family. And how did he still see life? He says it's about the gospel. It's about reaching out to other people. So a missionary's prayer, well, it should be for Thanksgiving, should be for other people. It should be, "Lord, please provide." But that fourth prayer, "Lord, if you're not going to take this from me, Lord, help me to be a witness through it." And maybe we have people that are just really rude at home, at work, our neighbors. We have physical ailments. We have other things. We can say, "Victim!" and bring all the attention to ourselves. Or we can say, "You know what? The Lord's allowing this. Help me, Lord, to shine anyway." Let's pray with Paul that God would be glorified. Prayers of missionaries, not just Australian ones, but those of Wheatland as well, that we would shine so others can hear the glorious good news of Jesus. Pastor Post.